This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Moments of Clarity with your host, Tiffany Warner. With over 10 years of experience in the psychotherapy field, she's here to guide you through the next hour. Now, here's your host, Tiffany Warner.
Hello, and thank you very much. And you're listening to Moments of Clarity. My name is Tiffany Warner. I'm a licensed mental health counselor, and I'm your host for the next hour. And we always have a special guest on the show to explain things a little further so that we could probably put an end to the stigma on mental health and mental well-being and identify what things are really like so that the stigma is dissipated in some way, and knowledge is always power. And I want to welcome, and I guess Kim Dalby, and she's the co-founder of We Feel, and it's an app, and it's focused with a lot of different things, but especially with Asperger's and autism, emotional identification, and it's really, really, really great. And Kim, thank you for coming on the show, and welcome to Moments of Clarity.
Thank you very much, Tiffany. I'm glad to be here.
And is it just you on the phone, or is it is your husband Jeff on the phone as well?
Unfortunately, he couldn't make it. He actually does have appointments all day today. So, but he's a little disappointed about that he already had stuff scheduled.
Oh, well, maybe we'll just have to do it again and have him on a different day.
Yep.
So what's cool about this, and I guess I'll give you a little bit of a startup, and I'd like you to tell your story. And you and Jeff have been married 21 years, right? Am I
That's
right?
Correct.
And when he was 39 years old, he was found out he was diagnosed with Asperger's. And for anybody listening that is unaware, that it's kind of, well, I'll let you speak about it, Kim, but it's
okay.
It's very difficult if you don't know you have it, or if you don't understand what's going on, or if you don't understand behaviors and or social skills especially. And you guys have a great love story that I want you to share.
All right. So my husband and I were married when we were almost 23. And so for the first 15, 16 years of our marriage, I didn't know that we didn't know that he had Asperger's. And for his whole life, up until he was 39, he did not know that he had Asperger's. So he always felt like a square peg in a round hole world. And so he just didn't feel like he fit in. And everything that he would try, it felt awkward. He would see everybody else around him be able to make friends and easily have these social conversations, and he couldn't. He everything was a struggle for him. And so he's a smart guy. He's really, really smart. And so he would study the world around him. He would study how other people did stuff. And he's like kind of watching from the outside. Okay, that's how they do it. And then he'd try, but because he wasn't able to pick up on social clues, that's one of the key characteristics of autism and Asperger's, he'd make these awkward statements or awkward conversations, and he just really wasn't feeling like he fit in. And so if you can imagine how that feels for your whole life and growing up, he struggled a lot with anxiety and depression because he wasn't fitting in. So finally, 39 years old, he's been struggling his whole life.
Which 39 is like, it's a long time. Like, if for the listeners that are listening, like, to not know that you have difficulty, like, obviously, in confusion in social situations and feeling interested in single topics and difficulty making eye contact sometimes and friends. But it doesn't affect your intelligence. It doesn't affect sensory, like there's certain things, very high functioning, and it's just very much social skills and not understanding that there's a reason for that. It must be really, it would be very hard to get through life for 39 years not understanding why you don't connect with everybody. Like, it's almost like, you know, the being Superman or like feeling like, you know, just different, you know.
And feeling like you're different in every single social situation is just really hard. And he always said he was really lucky that he found me. We seemed to click in a way that he had never been able to click with anyone else. And so we found each other. But so in the world of autism and Asperger's, we end up dividing the world into two separate sections. There's people who are on the autism spectrum, and then there's the rest of us who are neurotypical, and that's what we call it. So being neurotypical myself, every once in a while, I would be hurt by something that he would say or do because my neurotypical side would think that if you're doing or saying that, it's a slight. You're doing this on purpose to hurt me. Or if I would be hurt, and I'd be crying, and he wouldn't immediately rush over to comfort me, because he wouldn't see the logic. He couldn't understand why I was hurt, because mm-hmm. there was no logic to why I was feeling hurt, and so.
Because Asperger's, a lot of times they don't understand things like abstract feelings like sarcasm or humor or emotions.
That's, yes. And so he wasn't understanding that emotion.
Did you know that one of the famous people to kind of identify, like, for somebody that has never heard of Asperger's or doesn't know, I was kind of researching it after we spoke, and like Einstein is one of them that was diagnosed with Asperger's, and Dan Aykroyd is another one. And like, when I thought about it, I was like, man, Dan Aykroyd really can, that suits it. Like, from Ghostbusters, he's like, uh-huh. I think they also did that, that one movie where he's got the cone head. I don't even remember, but they were like, you know, just,
Conehead was a bit on Saturday Night Live.
They made a movie out of that too, but regardless, yeah. It kind of identifies if anybody like needs like a to like kind of link it together to kind of get a mental picture. That would be he would be a great example to, you know, where he's a nice guy, he just kind of says it how it is, you know, and very likable. But in a lot of the movies, he does play the character that doesn't connect emotionally, you know.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that it feels like there were times when I called my husband a robot because mm-hmm. his reactions would seem very mechanical or very contrived to me. And it's not that he doesn't have feelings. Everyone with autism and with Asperger's, they have just as many feelings as the rest of us. The problem really is that they don't make the same intuitive leap of emotion that neurotypical people do. And so when you're feeling sad, it doesn't make them feel sad along with you.
Were you ever confused and wonder if he was like narcissistic versus, you know, like unempathetic or something? Like, did it ever cross your mind, like, of before he found out or before he went in to find out, like, what's going on, or so he can identify his emotions and be happier?
Yes, there were times, you know, you read, Google is fantastic when we try to self-diagnose or we're trying
to diagnose
other people.
I hate the internet,
right? we look on the internet where we type in these things. Oh, he's like this. And they're like, oh, he's a sociopath. Oh, he's a psychopath. Oh, he's a narcissist. And it really wasn't any of those things. He fit little bits and pieces here and there. And some of my close friends would see the way he'd behave, and they were concerned that he was being emotionally abusive. And I'm like, well, no, because he does actually care. He just doesn't show it. I mean, he loves me and he loves our children, and it would be all this, but, and it's some, we knew that I could tell that something wasn't quite the same as everyone else, but there was no putting a finger onto it. And so that's one of the things that I always like to caution people, is that the internet is fantastic, but that therapists are really the ones that you want to diagnose problems, because we see things from our own perspective, especially with people that are closest to us, and we cannot have that dispassionate perspective that a therapist has, because we are emotionally invested in that relationship, even if they're just a friend of ours. We are emotionally invested with them. And therapists are fantastic because they are not emotionally invested in the relationship. While most of the therapists I found are very caring and wonderful people, they have that outside perspective to a relationship that says, I can look at this and with a somewhat dispassionate eye and say, you know what, it's not narcissism, it's not he's being a sociopath, or maybe it is. They can look at it and say, no, this clinical, we're seeing some behaviors here that can't be anything else. And so
yeah, that's how when I have clients that have I've worked with a lot of Asperger's and autism, and there's been times where they weren't diagnosed yet, and it was kind of like where we started treating other things, and it wasn't fitting. The diagnosis never fit quite right. And it's like kind of like I couldn't figure quite exactly. It just, you can't figure it out because nothing quite fit. And so that's when I would refer to the psychologist that does the testing and the IQ and spectrum testing. And then one of the times I found out that it was Asperger's, and then we could actually come up with a treatment plan that was effective because we knew mm-hmm. what to really work with. But it wasn't oppositional defiant. It wasn't narcissism. It wasn't on purpose. It wasn't like, anxiety. So it wasn't always fitting. And then when it did fit, it was so much, it was like a breath of fresh air. Almost like within 2 weeks, the person started getting better, like, and starting doing better because her parents understood her and I understood her. And then they put them in a special school, and it was just like flourished. And it was a lot of people don't reach their potential because they don't understand why they can't function and like react or interact in the way that like most people can. And it's just like, it really impairs their life. And I really feel bad for your husband for 39 years. He's like, probably was like so confused.
Well, and it's interesting that you mentioned the other diagnoses that you go through. When he was first in treatment, it was just, clinical depression with anxiety. Okay, now let's add some OCD to that. Okay, let's add some ADD to that, or maybe some ADHD to that, and jumping through
and behavior charts.
Yeah, let's add these things to it. Let's add this to it, and nothing snapped into place until his therapist said, "I think you have Asperger's." And his therapist was really great about presenting the diagnosis to him in a way that he wouldn't just outright reject it. Because unfortunately, autism isn't really well understood by the general public. And it isn't always portrayed really well in media. And so when my husband first heard, when his therapist first gave him this diagnosis, he really thought that meant he was stupid and that he would never be good enough to fit in with the rest of the world. And it took him a while to accept that diagnosis. And as part of his diagnosis process, his therapist asked him to keep an emotion journal and track his emotions. And he said to his therapist, he said, is there an app for that? And his therapist said, well, there isn't really an app for that. You can just write it down in any of your note programs. And he thought that was kind of weird, that there wasn't just something already out there where he could just quickly put his emotions in and then look at it. Like, we have all these data things in business. He was in business for a very long time. And all these data things in business that you put the data in and then you can visualize it. You can see at a glance how things are changing and how things are, how one criteria affects something else. And he's like, there's nothing like that for emotions. There's nothing like that for therapy. So,
and then you guys put your heads together and came up with the solution for that. And it was the We Feel app. And
yes,
We Feel app. And I want to pause right there because we need to take a break and pay a tribute to our sponsors. And this is kind of a good place to stop so that when we come back, we can hear about this app and also more about how you guys really had your moment of clarity. And we'll be back after this break.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Palm Shores Behavioral Health Clinic is a proud sponsor of Tiffany Warner's hit psychology talk show, Moments of Clarity. Like Tiffany, Palm Shores BHC wants to take the stigma out of mental health. Located in Bradenton, Florida, Palm Shores BHC is an intensive residential treatment facility for children ages 5 through 12 and adolescents ages 12 through 17. Palm Shores BHC is a TRICARE certified provider and is proud to serve our military family members in addition to all other insurances. Palm Shores BHC believes in the message that Tiffany is spreading on Moments of Clarity, a positive message that lets her listeners know that having mental health issues are okay and that there is hope.
Spice up your day with California Tacos To Go, Cali-inspired tacos, burritos, and more. Famous for our grouper fish tacos with Juan sauce, Cali fries, and authentic carne asada and pork tacos. Three locations, and we deliver. South Tampa, 808 Southdale Mayberry Highway, 450 Skipper Road, North Tampa, and 1003 4th Street North, St. Petersburg, Florida. On the web at californiatacostogo.com, on Twitter at CaliTacosTG, and Facebook at California Tacos. Three locations again, and we deliver. Come on by, folks.
Bliss Myofascial Release with licensed physical therapist Carolyn Puckett is the perfect alternative to orthopedic or medication management. If you have been in physical pain, Carolyn Puckett provides an effective approach to recovery. She accepts personal injury protection insurance, which is included in all standard Florida car insurances for anyone injured in automotive accidents. She also accepts Medicare or reasonable self-payments. Why suffer from physical pain any longer when a visit with Carolyn Puckett can be just the answer to a healthier way of life? Call for an appointment today at 727-365-8838 or visit her website at www.blissmyofascialrelease.com. She is centrally located at 685 Main Street, Suite C in Safety Harbor, Florida. Her number once again is 727-365-8838.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, and we're back, and thanks for waiting. You're listening to Moments of Clarity. My name is Tiffany Warner, licensed mental health counselor, and your host. And we're talking about several things, but I have Kim Dalby, and she's the co-founder of an app that is amazing and very, very in tune with emotional fitness and where you can track, journal, visualize, understand, and especially with people that don't understand why they're not interacting or why they're not socializing in the way that everybody else, where they feel a little bit out of place and things like that. It really helps identify things. And Kim, thank you for waiting. And so you were married to your husband that he did not know he had Asperger's syndrome for 39 years. And so you were married to him for 21 years. He finds out and he gets this diagnosis and he's like out of his head, like what? Like where a lot of people are like very turned off and uncomfortable with any label or diagnosis. And you were able to put in, a reason or explanation to when there's times where you felt that he was hurting you or like emotionally not there for you, and being able to understand that there's a reason for it all. And I think it's just amazing that you guys worked through that and really embraced it and helped him through it. And that's just like a great love story.
Yeah. So when he got his diagnosis, he was upset about it at first. And I really do have to commend his therapist for the way that he introduced it and the way that he helped him with it. My husband at first didn't want to be diagnosed with Asperger's. He didn't like the diagnosis. He wanted it to be wrong. His parents even wanted it to be wrong. No, there's no way that you have autism. There's no way that you have Asperger's. That's not it. It must be something else. And there's a movie called Adam. I believe the name of it's Adam. And it's about a guy with Asperger's. And it really clearly shows how he tries to interact with the world. And he wants to interact with the world. And he wants to have this these relationships and these emotions that overwhelm him. And so he showed it to his mom and dad. He showed it to his mom. And she saw some of it. She's like, well, yeah, you kind of do some of those things, but you don't do those others. And he said to her, he said, yeah, Mom, I actually do. I do some of those other less desirable behaviors that he has as well. And that talking with his parents, explaining it to him, really helped him coming to understand that it didn't make him less of a person and that I still liked him. For me, his Asperger's diagnosis was a moment of clarity. It was where, like, my whole world view of him shifted, and everything that he had ever done that had ever hurt me all of a sudden made sense. Everything that he'd ever done that hurt me or said to me, I don't care about you, shifted into a perspective of, well, he wasn't trying to hurt me and he wasn't trying to do any of those things. It was just, oh, well, you did that because that's how people with Asperger's would take it.
When you know that the intention was not to harm you, it's a lot more understanding and able to forgive and to see it a different way. It's not, it might be difficult to deal with on a daily basis regardless, but it's not as hurtful when you know that it's not intentional. In any case, everybody's like that too. And after 21 years, though, you finally got that moment of clarity. But 21 years of wondering, like, if you're feeling connected with your spouse and really trying to work on it and understanding each other and then being able to identify and know how to, like, how to see what he's saying in a different light and appreciate what he's saying because he means well.
And to understand that, I mean, one of the hardest things for me to understand was that if I am going to be emotional or if I get hurt emotionally and I'm sitting there crying, he's probably never going to reach out and put his arm around me and try and comfort me. If I am really emotionally distraught, it's incredibly awkward for him because he's just like, what is happening? What is going on? And I have to, that's one of the parts where that I have to reach out and say, look, I just want you to comfort me. And once he knows what I need, so I have the tools now to say, hey, I need to actually like say this to him. But as soon as I say it to him, he cares. I know he cares about me because as soon as I say, this is what I need from you right now, even if you don't understand it, he'll do it.
She'll and say, that's so oh, great okay. that you're willing to do that too, Kim, because there's a lot of people that come into counseling and I hear the wives saying, he doesn't understand me, he's not there for me, and I can't handle it because I feel misunderstood all the time and I don't feel connected. And you took it and it's just, I think it's really great that you toughed it out and really, you went through a lot, and I can tell that you really toughed it out to save the marriage too.
Yeah.
So what convinced him to go get the test at 39 years old?
So things came to a head for us. After 39 years of depression and anxiety, he wasn't sleeping. He wasn't sleeping for a long time, and lack of sleep, long-term depression. He had a kind of a break with reality. And I finally told him that he could get therapy or I would leave.
What was the break of reality like?
It was scary. It was just really, really scary. We really don't like to talk about the details of it too much because it was so scary. But it really came to a head where I said, look, I care about you and I care about our marriage, but I can't keep doing this. I can't keep doing whatever this is without you getting some help, because it was obvious to me that he needed some help. And so I kind of forced the issue by saying, you have to get help or I have to leave. And it's really too bad that people are so afraid of a diagnosis, or that there's so much stigma on mm-hmm. having a mental health diagnosis that it sometimes takes getting to that point before we seek help.
Right. It's a shame too, because the help could have happened and prevented a lot of the pain and of the struggle and of the crisis if you guys applied and like saw therapy before. It could have prevented a lot of things.
Yeah. It could have prevented some of the pain having therapy a lot sooner. I really want people to understand their emotions so that they can see those times when they need help. There is no shame at all involved with seeing a therapist, because a therapist, even short term. So while he was in therapy, I was in therapy as well, and I don't
That's
have
the best
diagnosis.
Way to do it. Everyone has a diagnosis. In the DSM-4, Kim, like, there's a diagnosis that says phase of life problem. You have a diagnosis because you're dealing with the husband, period. Like, it's like we have an adjustment disorder, like, for stress that moves in, and it only lasts 6 months, and then the diagnosis is no longer valid. Like, everyone has something. That's the thing about when people are afraid of being diagnosed or whatever mental health, it's you get stressed out at a job and it'll meet criteria for something like an adjustment disorder or things like that, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. Like,
exactly. So I guess when I said that, I meant I don't have a long term diagnosis or something that
I was just kidding anyway.
A curable thing. So I saw my therapist and worked through some of the issues that had been created by living with someone who has depression and anxiety. Sometimes that can induce some of your own depression and anxiety, because you pick up on those emotions and you want to help solve them, and you're not helping solve them. So I was in therapy and he was in therapy, and we both worked on ourselves and then worked on our marriage. And
that's the best way to do it.
Really, really important that we do this. And so we feel the app that we developed has a sharing ability that
it kind of just went into the sentence. Like you said, we feel the app is like, and for our listeners, the app is called We Feel. So like,
yep.
When Kim was just saying it in the sentence, it just blends into your sentence. But the app is called, if you call it diet, it's the app is wefeel.us, correct? And
yeah, that's what they type in. Our website is wefeel.us, or wefeela, because we all feel, right? Mm-hmm. And it's called We Feel because everyone feels these feelings. Everybody has feelings. So, but the app, We Feel, and you can find it on any of the app stores if you search for it, We Feel as one word, has a sharing setting where you can share your emotion entries with a loved one or a care provider. And so I share with my husband. And so sometimes when he wants to know how I'm feeling, he'll go in and he'll just go into the app and go into view emotions, and he'll see how I've been doing. And he can see the little notes that go along with the emotion entries that I've been putting in there. So, you know, sometimes it's that time of the month symptoms, where I'm sad and I have no reason to be sad. And I'll put it in there. I'll make an emotion entry that says I'm a little sad, and add a note to the bottom of it that says, I have no idea why I'm sad right now. Maybe it's just that time of the month.
Oh, there's a lot of people that take antidepressants the week before their cycle or their menstrual cycle or things like that. And like, it definitely affects the emotions and the chemical balance in women often. With yes. moods and things like that.
So, but the app is a really easy way for my husband to share and understand my emotions, because it removes it from an intuitive feeling space where he has to try and guess what I'm feeling, to a more literal space where I can tell him what I'm feeling and he can see it. Oh, look, she's sad, but she's only this much sad on the scale of sorrow, from just a little bit to, oh, she's bawling her eyes out.
What happens with that if he looks at the emotion and you are extremely hurt or on the bad end of the scale, sad or upset, and does he know to come comfort you, or do you just understand why he's not, or how is it going now?
So when he sees things like that for us, personally, he tries to be a little bit more understanding. He is a little more caring. I've noticed that, and it's not overt. He doesn't say, hey, I looked in the app and saw that you're sad, so I'm going to be nicer to you. He just is nicer.
He could barely be like, oh no, it's on red. Here's a flower. Oh no, it's a red. He doesn't come home for a week.
Yeah.
Oh, see you next Friday, Kim.
I'm just going to avoid her for a little while.
This is going to last 7 days. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Some of it is I can understand him too, because part of the things that he has a difficulty with is sometimes expressing his emotions in a way that I don't feel like they're directed at me. When we're involved with someone, when they're upset, we automatically assume that they're upset with us, or that we did something, because, you know, we're a big part of their world. So if you're upset, it has to be related to me, right? And that's not necessarily the case. It was Christmas time, and I love Christmas. I love Christmas so much. I watching my kids open their presents, finding just the right gift.
And you live in Utah, that. Right?
And I live in Utah. So
does Utah have the seasons? Does it snow? And, it snows over yep, there?
Yep. And so all of that, just magical, beautiful stuff. And he was grumpy. He was so grumpy. And I was like, what did I do? But I didn't know how to approach him with it. I didn't know how to say, because I'd say, are you okay? Did I do something? He's like, no, I'm fine. No, I'm fine. And be really grumpy. And I'm like, okay. And so finally I looked in the app and I saw what it was. And I saw that it totally was not related to me. That someone else had done something Christmas related that kind of hurt his feelings really badly. And there wasn't anything I could do about it except, you know, be understanding that he wasn't really wanting to participate in the Christmas festivities because everything Christmas was reminding him of someone else making the...
bullying him or making him sad.
It was someone else that it was something that made him feel like he was broken. And he doesn't want it. No one of us really want to feel broken. And so I'm like, okay, I understand now why you're being grumpy about Christmas stuff. And I just can kind of let you out of Christmas and of all the Christmas celebration. I'm not taking the decorations down, but when you want to go hide in our bedroom away from them, I'll understand. So, and that's this, I mean, that's one of the ways.
That's a lot of compromise can help. And a lot of people with, that's the compromise that couples make. And it's good that you guys were able to do that. And it's hard to change Christmas time. Like, it's everywhere you go. I mean, it's starting in, like, around Halloween even. But can we have to take our second break? We'll be back after another tribute to our sponsors and Moments of Clarity in just a second.
Are the stories that I can't explain. I leave my heart open, but it stays right here empty for days. She told me in the morning she don't feel the same about us in her bones. It seems to me that when I die, these words will be written on my stone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
At the MD Aesthetics and Wellness Institute, we specialize in facial enhancements, including Botox, facial fillers, non-surgical facial lifts, and skin tightening. Providing body contouring and medical weight loss, we not only obtain beautiful and immediate results, but can also provide you with an excellent overall experience. Call now for a complimentary evaluation and see how Dr. Reedy can enhance your youth at 813-855-5600. That's MD Aesthetics at 813-855-5600.
Spice up your day with California Tacos To Go, Cali-inspired tacos, burritos, and more. Famous for our grouper fish tacos with Juan sauce, Cali fries, and authentic carne asada and pork tacos. Three locations, and we deliver. South Tampa, 808 Southdale Mayberry Highway, 450 Skipper Road, North Tampa, and 1003 4th Street North, St. Petersburg, Florida. On the web at californiatacostogo.com, on Twitter at CaliTacosTG, and Facebook at California Tacos. Three locations again, and we deliver. Come on by, folks.
Palm Shores Behavioral Health Clinic is a proud sponsor of Tiffany Warner's hit psychology talk show, Moments of Clarity. Like Tiffany, Palm Shores BHC wants to take the stigma out of mental health. Located in Bradenton, Florida, Palm Shores BHC is an intensive residential treatment facility for children ages 5 through 12 and adolescents ages 12 through 17. Palm Shores BHC is a TRICARE certified provider and is proud to serve our military family members in addition to all other insurances. Palm Shores BHC believes in the message that Tiffany is spreading on Moments of Clarity, a positive message that lets her listeners know that having mental health issues are okay and that there is hope.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, we're back, and if you're tuning in, you're listening to Moments of Clarity. My name is Tiffany Warner, licensed mental health counselor, and we're discussing characteristics of Asperger's, and there's an app called We Feel that is very good with identifying emotions, sharing them with loved ones, especially if you have difficulty identifying or communicating your feelings and your emotions and finding yourself confused sometimes in social situations. And I have Kim Kim Dalby is a co-founder of the WeFeel application, and it's you can find it on your smartphone, Android, and it's like all over the place, right, Kim? I know it was Android and Apple at least.
Cool Kim. People that have the Windows phone, we do have a native app for Windows as well. So,
and it's not just for people with Asperger's, it's anybody, correct?
Yeah, it's really for anybody. What we found is, so we developed this in conjunction with my husband's therapist, and he has been using it extensively with his clients. And what was really cool is he came back to us the other day and he said, so I started using it with these clients, and we pulled it up, and I was looking at something, and I saw something in the data, in the visualization, that I would not have seen this soon in therapy with them. And so they were able to start actually working on an issue way sooner than they normally would have. He's like, I think I would have eventually seen this issue that this person had, but I'm not sure that I would have seen it this soon in order to make this big of a difference right away. And that was really validating for my husband to hear that from his therapist, that this app is already making a difference in therapy for people. So anyone can use it. You don't have to be in therapy to use it. As you use it, you might discover that you want to take some time to be in therapy to work through some issues that you might have. Learn some coping skills. One of the newest pieces that we've added to it is a toolbox. So you make emotion entries and you can see how they're happening, but the toolbox gives you places to put down goals that you're working on, especially emotional goals. But it also has a place to give coping skills. For example, my daughter said to me the other day that I don't smile enough. And that kind of hurt my feelings. She's like, Mom, why don't you smile more? And I'm stressed starting a new business, keeping up on my day job, keeping up with kids all summer long, all that stuff too. So I could understand why I wasn't smiling as much. But, I mean, she's like, why don't you smile more? And I was like, why don't I smile more? And so I was beta testing the toolbox that's now in the app in the stores. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to put in a coping strategy that says when I am feeling a little frustrated, so just a little bit of anger or just a little bit of sadness, that I'll just try smiling and see if that helps lift my mood some and if that helps make me feel better. And then when I'm feeling a medium amount of happiness or contentment that or joy, that I will grin. And what's funny is that this actually lifts my day up. I get the reminder that says, how do you feel? And I go, I put the emotions in, and as soon as I hit submit, my coping strategies come back and say, hey, you're feeling a little sad. Why don't you try a little smile and see if that helps you feel better? Or, you know, when you're feeling a medium amount of joy, you wanted to grin. And it actually improved my mood to just remind myself to smile, to remind myself that, hey, I wanted to smile more. And I know that there's some studies out there that show that physical act of smiling actually does improve our mood. And so that's one of the coping strategies that I have listed in there. There's other ones, like when I'm feeling a medium amount of anger, that I will count to 10 and take a deep breath. And I know that there are all kinds of coping strategies that therapists use with their clients to teach them how to deal with those strong emotions, teach them how to handle those things that as they're coming up. And so this is like real-time feedback on those coping strategies, that you get the reminder that you stop, think about how you feel, and then after you've had the chance to make this recording of how you feel, the app immediately comes back with this coping strategy that you or your therapist and you have set up to say, hey, when you're feeling this way, do this specific thing that you're supposed to be working on.
And so what is the best coping skill that you think that is most effective at times like that?
So I'm not a therapist, and so I hate to give advice to people. That's one of the things that we've been really careful with in the app, is that we don't want to diagnose anyone, and we don't want to treat you. We're going to give you a tool that you can use with your therapist or with yourself to do that. I think that, I mean, my own coping tools that I like
just,
are...
Yeah, just the ones you like. Stress. It's not advice, but the ones that work for you.
Yeah, so the ones that work for me are, like, when I'm a little bit angry, to take a deep breath. When I'm a little bit sad, or one of our core emotions is disgust. And boredom can be part of disgust as well. Disgust covers some, it's a really strong word that covers some emotions that people actually feel a lot more often than they might think. But one of the ones that I like for that one is to read my self-talk. There's a space in there for self-talk. And
so what is self-talk? Like the self-criticism and everything?
Well, so we all talk to ourselves, and some of us have bad self-talk, and we need to change that.
Most of us. Most of us are our own worst critics.
And so I have self-talk that I wrote down myself that reminds me I can do hard things is one of them. The other one that I have, it says, you're a black belt. You can kick this problem. I got my black belt last year in karate, and so I just reminding myself that I can do those kind of hard things.
Mm-hmm. You do it physically, and you can do it mentally. Those are positive affirmations that not only are very good coping skills, but they also enhance self-esteem. And by telling yourself positive things, the affirmations are going to make you feel more strengthened and increase your self-esteem and have a better outlook on a lot of things. And most of the time, they push people over that hump of fear or anxiety or stress and help them achieve goals that they've been thinking about but not wanting to do, fear of failure and all that stuff. So those positive affirmations, your karate kicking butt thing is great.
I'm a black belt. I can kick this problem. And so that's really where the coping skills and the toolbox comes in, because that is stuff that can be completely customized. It doesn't come pre-set up for you, because we don't want to tell anyone what they should be saying to themselves, because we don't want to should on anyone else. I had a therapist tell me once, "Why are you shoulding on yourself?" And I loved that saying, because I'm like, okay, because I shouldn't be. I shouldn't.
I was like, Kim, I told you not to say a bad word. And I was like, wait, you said shoulding. I get it. I was like, oh no, what did you just say? You kind of like made me like drop my jaw. But I got
Why are you shoulding to yourself?
Should, S-H-O-U-L-D.
We give these expectations to ourselves that, oh, I should be doing this.
Right.
I could be doing this. Instead, I want to do this.
I would rather hear, like, I am doing this. Like,
right.
A lot of times those people are like, I should, and all this stuff. And, like, there's no progression, like, the action where it's like, I am making a difference. I am changing things. I mean, I am changing my perspective. I am believing in myself. I am going to improve my life.
I am taking this step. Sometimes we think, I should be this amazing thing that takes 20 steps to get to. But because we're still on step one or step five, and we're not there yet, that's when we're like, oh, I'm a failure because I'm not at step 20. I'm not this amazing goal. And part of becoming a black belt was understanding that it takes time. It took me 4 years to become a black belt. And 4 years of regular effort applied to do that. And so one of the tools in the toolbox is goals. But the goal, like, you can say, okay, I want this great big goal, and then it has subtasks that you can put in there. So, you know, subtask of I want to be a black belt or I want to run 5 kilometers is I'm going to run this far this week. And the next week I'm going to do this much. And as you check off the subtasks, you get positive reinforcement because the progress meter on your goals goes up. There's actual visual feedback. As you check it off, the progress meter goes up and you go, oh my gosh, I am making progress. I am getting better so that I am taking these steps instead of I should be. I should be there already. I should be able to do this. No, I am making progress and I am yourself. Taking these steps.
A lot of I just think it's a great thing. You were shooting. We only have a couple minutes now, Kim. So, like, so just to clarify, for people that want to download your app, how can they find you, and what's the best way to get started with your program?
Okay, so we always recommend that everybody who downloads it takes the time. It just takes a couple of minutes to go through the tutorial that runs automatically on the app. And you can get the app in any of the app stores. So the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store, or the Windows App Store, just by searching for We Feel as one word. Or you can go to our website and click on the Get the App link. Our website is wefeel.us. So wefeel.us.
And that's where you begin, and that's a great tool to be able to share feelings, especially if it's hard to communicate with loved ones and you're finding that you're bumping heads and not being understood. And I commend you for taking your moment of clarity and inventing a way to help other people, not only your family, but the whole world, that are struggling with similar situations and have them understand so they can have a happier life and adjust and clarity. And thank you for being on the show, Kim.
Thank you so much, Tiffany, for having me.
And give our best to Jeff, and hopefully we can have you guys both on the show another time.
That would be wonderful.
And we'll be back on Thursday at noon with Moments of Clarity. On Thursday, we have Dr. Dan Lerner, and he's a world authority on psychology and called on by celebrities, politicians, professional athletes, and high net worth individuals and thousands of people successfully to overcome anxiety. He wrote a book, An Anxiety Plan, How to Overcome Anxiety. And look forward to Thursday at noon with Moments of Clarity. And thanks again, and we'll see you then.
Are the stories that I can't explain.